Hey, I'm Kristen.
And I'm Dana. We are competitors turned besties turned co-founders, and together we've taught thousands how to handcraft the perfect cozy knit with our chunky blanket kits.
So join us as we grow our side hustle.
All while balancing marriage, motherhood, friendship, full-time careers, and the inevitable mess that comes when those areas of your life get tangled up.
So snuggle in, pour yourself a glass of wine,
or maybe not if you're driving,
and find comfort in knowing you're not the only one hiding from a toddler right now. This is Tangled Up with Craft Happy. Hey guys, welcome to the very first episode of the Tangled Up podcast. I am Kristen.
And I am Dana. Hello, hello. This is incredibly nerve-wracking already.
Even though no one is probably going to listen to this.
Listen, we have at least four people that we know that will listen. I will definitely make my husband listen. You'll make Freddie listen.
That's cringeworthy sometimes, you know?
It is. But we have a couple of people.
Oh my gosh, you guys should so start a podcast. You know, we listen to tons of podcasts, which is, I think, what inspired us to start our own. And so many of them are like, oh, you know, we get so many DMs on Instagram asking us questions. We have an Instagram account. Please go follow us at Craft Happy Co. We're also on TikTok now because we're so young. And no one's asking us questions. So literally,
no one is asking us questions.
So we're just here to chat with you about our business journey, being besties in biz, and take you on it with us because we are in the middle of it.
We are. So you are going to help us figure out what we are actually doing in all aspects of our life, probably. So hopefully you're really good at giving advice. So maybe you're not going to ask us questions, but maybe you'll just give us unsolicited advice as to what we're doing wrong, what you would do in the situation, how you're better mom and better co-founder. And
you drink less wine. Better wife. Anyways, obviously we're very tangled up in everything that we're doing.
Oh, good one. Please, I see what you did
thank
there.
You. Thank you. Dana named the podcast. She is really the creative brains behind all of our captions. If you do
only
when
follow I'm drinking.
Good stuff, which we're not doing. We didn't think about this. We're doing dry January, guys. Well, Dana's doing dry weekday January.
Hey, listen, you got to set attainable goals, okay? Like, I'm not going to be like, hey, for this long first start of the year, I'm cutting out alcohol. Like, no. I'm still drinking my water, even tonight, out of a wine glass to make me feel fancy inside.
I feel you. I've got kombucha in mine.
There
you
go.
At least it's fizzy.
A little festive. But yeah, we figured we would start our first episode actually giving you guys some background. Again, you didn't ask for it, but we're here to give it. And you press play, even if we forced you to, because you know us. And we thought we'd chat through our origin story really so far, because to Kristen's point, we're kind of in the middle of it, if not the very beginning of it, when you think about kind of where we've been and where we are and where we want to go.
Yeah. So essentially, we started Craft Happy 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, it was June of 2019 because I was about 5 or 6 months pregnant with my second daughter.
But you didn't know your due date. I remember that. You had no idea. Second kid problems.
Second kid problems. I mean, really, like you just forget. I mean, I knew what month I was due, just not the day. And she didn't come on her due date, so it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't. They shouldn't give you a due date. They should give you like a due range.
Anytime from this day to this day.
When you count down to one day and then you're late, it is a mental mind fuck.
It really is.
Not okay with it. Both of us were late with both of our children. No more are coming from us. Done.
Yeah, we're done. Two and done. Seems great.
That doesn't rhyme. But anyway, so we started Craft Happy. It was an event marketing company. We specialized in doing events in apartment communities with really cool club rooms. I don't remember if you guys know what happened in 2020, you know, 6 months after we launched
an event company. You mentioned apartment communities. I think we need to go back even to like the very beginning of like us. I was starting to look at social media because I have the brain of, you know, like a 90-year-old. And so I don't remember anything. A 90-year-old goldfish, if you really want to. Like, I don't remember most anything.
I didn't know that about goldfish.
Yeah, goldfish only have an attention span of like 5 seconds. I read that for like a panel somewhere because I was like, let me have like a fun fact. And that stuck with me. I'm sure, again, somebody will write and be like, that's not true at all. Where did you read that? And I will probably say, Instagram.
Our DMs might finally blow up.
Yeah, but just telling us how wrong we are about goldfish. I'm very passionate about my goldfish. But no, so I was looking through my Instagram because I was just like, with my memories, I remember what I'm wearing more than anything else. So if I'm trying to remember like what happened on a certain day, I'm like, okay, well, what was I wearing? Was I wearing that Amazon top or this other Amazon top? And maybe occasionally.
We met long before we were priming our outfits to our doors. We're not going to say what year or how long ago it was because I want people to think, you know, we're 28.
Yeah.
Or 26 if you think we're 26. So we met. We said in our little intro, you might have heard we were competitors. And it's like, what were we competing against, right? We were both leasing consultants at apartment communities in downtown Atlanta in a very, what is the word that we
use? Up and coming.
Transitional, up and coming neighborhood. Yeah. Off Boulevard. That's it. Just Boulevard.
If you know Atlanta.
if you know, you know. And yeah, we were both leasing consultants. And this is how I remember meeting you. I don't know if you remember.
I'm afraid of this story. I'm sure I was a total bitch. Sure.
Because it was such up and coming neighborhood and there were about 5-6 brand new communities trying to, you know, get super high rent rates in this neighborhood, we would have these like monthly meetings. Do you remember what we called them?
I don't. Do you?
Were they like, no, like town halls or like, something like that, where like they would send a representative like from every community. Meetups.
It was definitely something with alliteration. Like, you know how marketing people, we love that shit.
Yeah. We were just leasing consultants back then, though. Let's just remember where we came from. We hosted this at my community, and that was the first time I met you. And we were sitting like in our club room. I was on the couch, and you were sitting on like, we probably pulled like a bar stool over for you to sit. And it's probably the last time you were taller than me. But I remember getting your business card. I don't remember what your last name was at the time, but I remember your title.
I was about to say you were a leasing consultant. I was not.
Correct. Please enlighten them on what your business card had your title as.
I will say that this was back when like social media was not as prevalent as it is today. And so whenever I was leasing, so I graduated college and then I went straight into essentially, I call it real estate marketing, but yeah, I was leasing apartments, right? And it sounds much fancier. And I set up the property on a Facebook page and they thought I hung the fucking moon. I could do no wrong because I created this magical Facebook page and people could find us and this is how we were going to market and it was free and we could share the person. Like everything was so great. And so they gave me the title of social media guru.
Guru.
Printed it on my cards.
So I remember getting that.
So yeah, so I would go to these meetings with other well-respected leasing consultants and be like, let me just drop this here for you. I don't know if you know who I am, but I'm pretty important. And I know how to use the Facebook.
The Facebook. Oh my God. My husband still calls it that sometimes. Or the boo. He just calls it the boo.
See, you remember meeting me there. I don't remember meeting you until you came and toured my property because I think we were trying to recruit you to work with us.
Well, once I found out we had the same job, but your title was way fucking cooler than mine, I was like, what am I doing at this company? We were at the tail end of our lease up and you guys were just starting. And that's what I prefer. Empty apartments where I can just sell to people. Once they're there, I would like to leave. So that's why I came. And that's, I guess, when you remember meeting me. You were wearing like 5-inch heels walking around this apartment community.
Well, listen, I had to make a statement. I worked with a lot of gay men who had high standards and required me to wear higher heels. So I learned at a very young age how to walk in them. I probably can run in heels just as well as I could run in sneakers, which I mean, isn't very well either way. However, but I remember you coming in and me touring you and me just not really caring.
No.
As I was just like, listen, like either you're going to work with me or you're not. That's kind of how I was with leasing apartments, which I don't know how I did as well as I did. Maybe people like that approach of I was just never up anyone's ass. I was just like, listen, let me open the model door for you. Here are the main highlights. If you're interested, that maybe it was like playing hard to get, like when you're dating, you're like, I'm not, you know, I'm over here. If you want to call me, that's fine. But if not, I'm not going to like wait up for you. And then people leased. And so maybe I thought that was the game I was playing with you. I was like, nah, she's cool. But you know, there's only one room for one blonde white girl over here. Quota met.
I did get the job. I did not take it. So we
remained. I thought I was like heartbroken. It's like I was just like, oh, wait, she doesn't like me. She doesn't like us.
Well, we were never going to be friends because I lived in Atlanta and you lived very far away. And I was like, what is she doing?
That's true. Yeah, I married a country boy. So we lived outside the perimeter. So I probably commuted like 45 minutes to work every day while everyone else in my age bracket lived down the street, if not took an elevator down to work.
Correct.
But, you know, it is what it is.
So then I don't know how many months, years, hours passed before our paths crossed again, other than when we would call each other for market surveys. But the next meeting I remember is, well, really like the next important thing is then I was working for you.
Yeah. Were you working for me or you were working at a property? So then we both left our companies that we were at. I think you went somewhere else and then I went straight to a larger company and started working with their marketing corporate team, essentially. And whenever we were looking for like a high-end like marketing manager of sorts to be on site, I was just like,
another leasing consultant, guys. We're just they're throwing around these fancy titles.
You're so much more valuable than that. And I remember kind of going through like my, you know, modern day Rolodex of my phone or LinkedIn or something like that. And I was like, oh, I wonder what Kristen's up to. And then I think that's when we reached out. And so, yeah, you started working on site and we moved you to a couple of different properties. And I kept promising you that I was going to get you off site and into corporate because you were like, I am a liability. Get me away from these crazy people. Like, I have paid my dues, which you definitely have. And I think eventually that's when you moved to Charlotte. You moved back home.
I did. Yeah. So we met in Atlanta. We mentioned mm-hmm. that. And then when our company expanded into Charlotte, that's where I grew up. So I raised my hand to head back up 85. And I've been here ever since.
And I missed you ever since. Years ago.
I know. And then we became really best friends after mm-hmm. that. Maybe we need 4 hours in between us.
Maybe. It would be really dangerous if we lived down the street from each other. I know we said that a lot, like especially at night when we're in our like hyper brainstorm sessions and we're either like yes. texting back and forth or we're on Marco Polo sending videos back and forth about our ideas or jumping on a Zoom or something like that. And we're like, gosh, I wish I could just like come over and like split this bottle of wine that I just opened so I'm not drinking the entire thing. I don't know if it would be good for our sobriety or bad.
I don't either, but it would be great like tonight. Like tonight it stinks that we're in two different rooms. Mind you, they look very similar if you ever do watch our podcast, which is on probably our YouTube channel.
How are we figure that out too? A problem for another day.
Exactly. But yeah, so we worked together for a while. She eventually her promise came true and I was mm-hmm. off site. Every year in my review, my manager would always tell me that my face was a problem because when people would come in with crazy stories, like I couldn't hide how ridiculous what they were saying to me was. And I wish I had an example, but they were just like, your face needs to hide your emotion.
You're like the original RBF now. You're just like, listen, like I can't have this thing.
Yeah. Like I can't, like, don't come ask me for a stamp. Like this is the leasing office. Like I'm not a fucking post office. People get very confused with leasing offices. Anyways, so yeah, she got me off site and then we worked together 4 hours apart, but we got to see each other a lot.
Yeah.
It was 4 years.
Yeah. Long distance before. Relationship for sure. If we can make it work, you can make it work.
One.
Yeah, like you would come down for events and then I would come up and then you were on the marketing team. So you were able to travel a little bit more freely. And I would come up for like Charlotte prom night and
do my review prom yeah. night. Oh my God, we would match. We still match years yeah. later. But speaking of all the events we would go to, so that's actually when we birthed yep. the idea for Craft Happy. And like she mentioned, we were in marketing for apartment communities. Still kind of sort of are. She is. I am touching it. Still the same industry. But we were at Atlanta United?
Yeah.
A soccer game?
It was the first and only soccer game I have been to in my entire life still.
Same, actually.
Yeah, really?
Like, yep. And
yeah, so you came in town for a women's yeah. conference that our company that we both worked for at the time was not sponsoring necessarily, but there was a group of us that they were like, hey, you guys should go. And we were like, yeah, hell yeah. Like it was in Atlanta. It was held by a cute little, there's a company called Atlanta Girl Gang. I think was sponsoring
it. Very Instagrammable. And we will do a lot of things for a photo.
Yeah. They were like, we know how to get you basic girls here. And we were like, we are basic girls and we will be there. And so you came in the night before and we were invited to the Atlanta United soccer game at Mercedes-Benz. And so we went there and we had an extra ticket. So Kevin, my husband, joined us, which he doesn't generally. So we were like, yes, DD. But then I remembered I'm pregnant. So I ended up being the DD and he had a good old time. And so when we were leaving the game, that's when we were like, there has to be something that we can do. Like, we loved working together so much. And we were just kind of like throwing ideas out. And I think it was one of our friends had sold their company recently. And that is what triggered us to be like, well, if they can,
we can totally do it.
Yeah. Like, this is no disrespect to them at all. But it was just like, you know, like, we saw their entire journey because we were, you know, friends with them. We worked with them. They were a vendor of ours. And when we saw them kind of like cash in and like make that big sale, and you know, they went to like Costa Rica or something, we were like, oh, that looks nice on Instagram. We were like, there has to be something that we can do that's just as profitable and like, and more successful, and that can kind of fill our creative buckets.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it too was like, it was no overhead, like how they built their business. And I think that's what we were thinking. Like, what can we do that has no overhead? Because that's not what we're doing now. So we'll get into that.
Yeah. So we started with, and we were like, okay, what can we do? Where can we apply what we do best? And also, how can we partner this with apartments and like our industry, multifamily, if you will? Like, how can we use what we know already? And what problem can we solve? You know, that's, I mean, we listen to so many of our like podcasts of How I Built This, and everyone else is just in Shark Tank. And it's always like, what problem are you trying to solve? What's that friction point? And so I think for us, we were like, well, what's something that we know is something that as marketers, we always get tapped on. That's a big problem. Yeah. And it's events. It's engagement with prospects and residents and trying to actually create a community rather than just saying you have that sense of community that everyone loves to coin around.
The eye roll. Wow, that was aggressive. But totally. And I think we dream it up as a marketing team. We're like, this is what we're going to do at these properties. But then it's on the on-site teams to do it. And they've got a lot to do. So we wanted to bring those events that we dream up, that, you know, we have time to dream up because residents aren't coming in asking for stamps. In the 10th package, like, is my package there? I don't know. Check the tracking. But anyways, there's package lockers for that now, not when we were there. So I think, and we both love throwing events ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we were like, okay, we got an idea and we ran with it. And it was cool.
Yeah. And so we came up with the name Craft Happy pretty quickly. We had a long list of shared note on our phones of horrific names. And then we would play them off of each other. I know one of my favorites was Apricot, which, thank God, we didn't go that direction. I was just like, I just really like the Apricot. Like, somebody probably has their company named Apricot listening to this. And just like, it's great. Like, thank you for not doing
There's a really cute boutique called Apricot Lane or Apricot. How do you say that?
Oh, I didn't even think about how you say it. It's like pecan and pecan.
Exactly. Or tomato, tomato. Well, think.
Yeah, but we didn't go that way. We were like, you know what? We need to do something simple and appropriate. And so I think we just ended up putting two words together because we were like, well, we're going to offer workshops. So we tried workshop something or other for a lot of them. And then we were like, okay, well, mostly we're doing crafts. Like, we knew right away that we wanted to do something like that helped people come together and create something and do something with their hands. Because one thing with events, and if you've ever lived in an apartment community or even like moved into a neighborhood that you're unaware of, like, meeting people, especially as adults, is really awkward and really hard. And so if you can give people something to do, right, which is why we have wine generally, but if you can give people something to do with their hands or like an instruction or something that they're already there because they have the commonality of wanting to participate in this activity. So you're like, if you show up to a hand lettering class and you sit next to someone, they also might be interested in a hand lettering class. Chances are. And Kristen, you had gone to a couple of these. Like, Charlotte had a really cool network that we were partner with.
I just think like most apartment community events, like people would come with their roommate or their boyfriend or even like bring a friend that didn't live there. But no one was showing up by themselves to meet their neighbors. And I will show up. I'm not going to go to the movies by myself or to a restaurant by myself, but I will show up to a hand lettering class or a cookie decorating class and leave with four friends. And that is what I wanted to create, because we have these amazing club rooms, multi-million dollar club rooms that are built and designed very carefully and tediously, and just they're perfect on a tour, and then they're not really activated. Mm-mm. So that's what was kind of behind it. And like she mentioned, I had been to a ton. There is like a different style of business in Charlotte where you could do like pop-up classes. So I would go to like a watercoloring workshop in West Elm. I tried really hard to get them to pop up in my apartment communities, but it just wasn't their business model, which is fine. Now it was ours until March 11th, 2020.
What happened March 11th of 2020, Kristen? I don't remember. I told you I have the memory of a goldfish.
Pretty sure that's when the NBA was the first one to cut the season off. And I was supposed to, I was on my way like to your house like that week. You had 300 balls of yarn.
You were. So we had plans. So we were obviously like, we were probably 7, 8, 9 months into doing this. And we have had like 30-ish classes a month on the schedule.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. Yep. It was crazy.
Yeah, we had a ton of artists, whether they were like cheese board makers or watercolor or hand lettering. Like we had all this whole network of really amazing like women run businesses that were coming in and doing these pop-ups. And we had a lot of clients, obviously with our connections. And so we had scheduled a chunky blanket making workshop in Atlanta that Kristen is just, you know, genius in all things. And she is a master.
I wasn't back then.
You weren't, but you fake it till you make it, which is a really great skill to have. And so, yeah, you were on your way down here and we were like, I think we have to cancel the event. Like, I think we had maybe like 20 people signed up for the class. A lot of our friends and coworkers were coming because we were like, oh, like anytime we do a class, it's like the perks of it, right? Like you also get to participate and your friends do too. And so we were trying to make a big thing of it. And did you make it down here or did you just end up like turning around?
No, I was like a couple. So we always would piggyback these types of things off work events. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll just stay with Dana. Like we'll do this after hours. And corporate travel was like suspended across our company a couple days before. So Dana had had all the yarn and I had randomly attended a chunky blanket workshop taught by Craft Happy at an apartment community in Charlotte that subsequently I did open and help brand, which is so funny. But
full circle.
I just really wanted to learn how to do it. Like I love going to craft workshops. I personally am not very crafty, but I can follow instruction. So like I can't go. I tried to make a tulle skirt last night for my daughter's tutu birthday that's coming up next month. So I don't want to talk about the fact that shout out Casey already did that and I didn't know.
I saw that. Anyway,
I was like, are you kidding me? That is not a tutu. She's like, yes, it is. I'm like, of course it is. We're the same person. 3 months later, here I am with my children. Okay. So I don't know how to do those things, but I can follow a workshop. So I went to a chunky blanket workshop. My blanket was horrible. I could have like choked my children with it. Did I have children? Yeah, I had one child at that point. And I brought it home. I remember I held it up for Freddie and I was like, look at this blanket. And then I remember being like, oh, I can get all the way through it.
I can put my whole head. I'm pretty sure the loops, like it's supposed to be holy, but like put a finger, not your face. Not your entire toddler.
He was like, is that not supposed to be like a warm blanket? I was like, I mean, it's like the style, like so farmhouse, whatever. But anyways, I learned how to do it. And I was like, I think I can teach other people. This is not that difficult. I unraveled that one and made the biggest one ever after. I was like 12. It was like a huge queen size. I don't make them that big anymore. Nobody needs a chunky blanket that big. But yeah, so Dana went to Hobby Lobby. Is that where we ordered? That's where we were getting all our yarn back then?
I think so. Yeah, this is like old school because we didn't know. So I had purchased all the yarn already. So you're right. All the yarn was with me. And we had everyone's colors and everything picked out. And we were like, okay, well, we obviously can't meet in person. So do you remember how this is just supposed to be a 2-week thing? So everyone will just close up for 14 days. This plague will just, you know, go away.
Flatten the curve.
Yeah, it'll be totally fine. So like, you know, in 2 weeks, we'll just reschedule. I think we even set a rescheduled date because we were like, oh, let's just, when else can everyone get together?
Yeah, I don't remember. God, talk about that goldfish brain. I guess I have it too. I think it's when we realized we were like, no one's going anywhere ever again. And Dana was like, I can't see the floor in my bonus room and my husband's going to divorce me. So let's see if we can teach this over Zoom.
Yeah, I think the theme throughout this podcast will be, we need to do something before Kevin leaves me. Like, and that particular one was, we can't walk in our bonus room. And for the record, he had no business being in the bonus room. So I don't know why, like, just close the door, babe. There's nothing for you to see here. However, so I think we were like, okay, well, let's try it on Zoom. We were like, we're already starting to do Zoom calls or Teams meetings. We were like, this can't be that hard. Let's just try. And I remember Kristen, you know, you bought the little webcam, like, arm. I hung it
from my dining room chandelier.
Yes, I remember your dining room chandelier, because we were like, just connect it however you can and we'll make it work. And we were like trying to figure out how to flip the camera back and forth. But again, most of this was like friends and family. And so thankfully, we didn't have the pressure of that. Like, they literally just paid for the materials, I think. And we did it and it turned out pretty cool.
Yeah, everyone made a way better blanket than my first blanket.
Yeah, Kristen was really secretly pissed that she was like, she could not tell that when the first blanket I made, you know, sucked. And everyone's like, well, the first blanket I made is turning out pretty cool. And she's like, well, it must be because I'm the best teacher.
I don't know if I said that out loud, but I'll take the compliment if you're saying it.
I'll say it for you.
I think learning it over Zoom is easier. But anyways, that led to a whole slew. We started putting them on Eventbrite. So we were like, let's just teach the public. So we did that. Dana and I would split Hobby Lobby trips. There's way more Hobby Lobbies in Atlanta than Charlotte. What the hell, Charlotte?
There's an insane amount of Hobby Lobby trips. Like, the number of carts I would walk in with, because we were getting like a lot of orders and we were surprised, but we were like, okay. People were bored at home and they were like, what's this? Oh, that's cool. Like, I'll learn to make one. I'll sign up for your class. And so, yeah, they started picking up steam and I would go to Hobby Lobby. And I have three that are like triangular from my home. So I would just like go and get all the colors at each of them. And I would have to just like come back home and unload my trunk because I have like a small SUV. And then I'd go back out to get more. And it was just a really interesting.
Oh my God. I remember one time on the way home from Atlanta, this was towards, they had been sold out online because we started doing it online when they would do free shipping at Hobby Lobby, which is not all the time. Also, what the hell? But I remember coming home from Atlanta, I stopped at three or four Hobby Lobbies on the way up 85. I could not see out the back of my window. Do you remember that? I have a photo.
And I just remember, I mean, like, we would go in and we would just grab immediately three carts. I just remember getting really good at balancing three carts. Like, the first cart would push the second cart, and then I would have a cart behind me. Just fill
a stroller or a baby.
Old women in the, the checkout line would be like, oh, what are you making, hon?
like the biggest blanket ever. Yeah. We teach workshop. Here's a card. But yeah, so after we put those on Eventbrite, then we started getting, you know, corporate, what do you call these people? Event planners, corporate team managers, I guess, that were like looking for anything to do with their teams. And now there's like tons of companies out there that are like specializing in virtual events.
And we work with a lot of them, which is nice.
Yes. But back then they would just reach out to us. I think in the first year, probably taught about 100 workshops from this room.
Yeah. We joked about, I was just like, Mariah Carey has like her legs insured, I'm pretty sure. Or Carrie Underwood too. Like, I was like, Kristen, should we seriously look at insuring your hands? Like, I remember one time you had like carpal tunnel or what? Like
I got carpal tunnel. We were very concerned. I couldn't teach a class.
I was very concerned because you were like, well, you know how to make one. And I was like, but I don't know how to teach. Like, to Kristen's point, like, we are not crafty people, which is why we're like,
and we're definitely not knitters.
No, we are not knitters. Like, give me I don't even know how to spell the word crochet on a good day. Like, I cannot, again, I could probably figure it out if I put my mind to it. But I also have like a needlepoint kit in one of my drawers that I bought like 3 years ago that I was just like, oh, I'll do this during the pandemic. Like, this will be cute. And I haven't even opened the packet. One day I will do it.
No, you're just making blankets till you die at this point, Dana.
I think so. Sorry, I think so.
But it's so satisfying to make them. They're so easy. Literally, like, if we can do it, y'all can do it. But I think we got sick of going to Hobby Lobby. Because, I mean, you'd have to go when they had a sale.
So every other week. You know? So if like someone had a workshop and they said, hey, we want to do this, but it was a, you know, Sunday, And Hobby Lobby's closed on Sunday. And it was the Sunday of a non-sale week. Then we had to wait until like the following Monday. And then we had to ship it out like the same day. And so it just got very stressful in that regard. And this was all while we were also offering, we switched all of our workshops for apartment communities virtually. So we started like a monthly subscription service where people, our apartment communities could subscribe. And twice a month, we would do like bartending classes or chunky blanket classes and, you know, all
oral
of that
design
that we were doing in
macrame.
Person. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'd switch it to virtual. So we were also doing that in tandem with the chunky blanket workshops for more team building. And so that just got to be a lot.
That was a lot. And that's when I had another kid.
Yeah. So we both at this point had two kids under five.
Yeah.
So four kids total. I can do math.
2 + 2 = 4. She's not that great at math, but she's got that one down.
Yeah. So we had that and we were both working full time. You had started working Craft Happy full time shortly after, though. Yeah. Right after Sage.
Yeah.
So you're youngest. And so you worked full time doing that for about a year, a little less.
A year before I realized that that was not my life.
Yeah.
Which is why. Well, also, pivot was like the whole word for 2020 for everybody, right? We obviously pivoted our entire business model. And then the whole reason we're sitting here today is because we're pivoting for the last time, hopefully. Never say never, but we got sick of going to Hobby Lobby or Michael's or Walmart. I mean, we had yarn hides. I remember like I would get on the highway like after I like went to a Walmart, like not my normal Walmart, and I'd be like, oh my God, I scored so many. And you're like, you're on a yarn high. And I'm like, I am. And I even had an intern like the first year we did this, which was I guess the year before Sage. And she felt it too when she would go to Hobby Lobby.
So exciting when you get all the colors that you're supposed to get.
You have a list. And you're just like, yes.
You have a list and you check off that list. I mean, that's very type A Enneagram 3 of us. We're just like, give me a list. Let me cross it off. I love it.
We are both Enneagram 3s.
Yes.
What are y'all? Let us know. I don't know where you comment, but
write like, in. Comment. RDM. Subscribe.
If you don't know what you are, you should figure it out because it's super interesting. But yeah, and we were also like, we want hot pink yarn. And they didn't have hot pink yarn. So annoying. And I was like, wouldn't it be so cool one day, like if we could like source our own yarn or like make our own yarn or something. And I said this in passing when my sister and brother-in-law were here, maybe, I don't remember when this was, but he was like, oh, you don't use this, this or this. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So he was like, yeah, yeah, that's legit. Like that's where you can get your own yarn. I was like, I can get my own yarn. So sure enough, that's what we did. And now Dana's basement has become the headquarters for our warehouse.
Yeah, thankfully I moved in the process to expand the quote unquote headquarters / warehouse that has become our lives. And yeah, and to even back up, Kristen, whenever I remember you always have the biggest ideas, which is why I love and hate you at the same time, because she'll say these things and she'll be like, wouldn't it be great if? And I'm just like, that just seems like such an audacious goal. I was like, what do you mean have our own line of yarn? I was like, that sounds crazy. I was like, now I don't want to keep going to Hobby Lobby, but my brain just like couldn't comprehend that like people, you could just go and do that. Like there are resources. We talk to people. Now we made a lot of mistakes, like who we talk to and vendors. And like, there's a lot of like, there's a learning curve, which I think is part of why we're doing this podcast, is so that if someone's like thinking about doing a side hustle or has their own thing, that we can.
We just want someone to, you know. Misery loves company. We're here with you.
Yeah, like you can relate because we're still making mistakes. We're still trying to figure it out. We still don't know. Like my cousin, shout out Janae, like helped us with this podcast stuff. I was just like, hey, you have a really amazing podcast. Like
how does one do this?
And she was like, here's a list. We're like, go again with our list. Yay, checking that off. But yeah, so I think at the end of 2022, we were like, okay, what we are making money doing all of these workshops for these apartment communities. 2021.
2022 just ended like 3 days ago.
Right. But that's when we were like, hey, we don't want to do these workshops for like other workshops, not chunky blanket workshops.
Sure. We had this conversation like last summer because we got our own line of yarn and we were still doing everything else. So we literally created a side hustle on a side hustle.
That's
we
a good way to put it. Yes.
What are we doing? Like, what do we want to do? And I think at the end of the day, like, we loved doing the in-person workshops pre-COVID. That was magical. It was something special. It was what I think we envisioned it. And then everything changed. And that's fine. There's always a silver lining. We have a yarn called Silver Lining also. So we decided, it was kind of a tough conversation. That's another reason I was like, Dana, I'm going to go back to work so we can actually do this.
Yeah, that was all around the same time.
Yeah, because I went back to work in July of 2022. Yeah, that's when we were like, all right, we're going to, by the end of this year, 3 days ago, we're going to dissolve the part of the business that made us money for the last 3.5 years and afforded me to be home for a year. And we both still got paid. It was awesome. And we also have some other girls we pay too. So it was a really fruitful business, but it wasn't what we wanted to do anymore. We were like, now we have this yarn and we want it. I want it in Target. Dana wants it in Lowe's, Home Depot, anyone that has shelf space for yarn and like a DIY theme to their life or their business, we want in. But we couldn't do both.
Yeah. And I think to your point too, like, we figured like navigating what makes us money wasn't actually making us happy. Like, we were trying to be too much to too many people, and we were trying to appease different groups. And we were, you know, I felt us, you know, when we would jump on calls with one team and then we jump on another, and we were just getting frustrated. Like, obviously we weren't showing them that frustration, but I was like, if this isn't fun, then why are we doing it? Because yes, it was making us money, but it wasn't making us life-changing money. And if we were both still going to have full-time jobs in addition to this, like, it wasn't
work for someone else for that. Right.
Yeah, it wasn't worth the additional stress. And so when we were like, okay, well, what is our niche that other people aren't doing and that we find fulfillment in? And we got all tangled up in that all yarn.
No, but that's exactly what happened. And I think even before we ever dreamt up Craft Happy, we listened to a lot of How I Built This podcast. And the first one I listened to was In Your Car with you. I think it was Spanx. Might have been the first one I ever heard.
Sarah Blakely.
Yep. Love her. I remember being like, what is it? Like Jimmy Carter, like Exit 99, like getting on when we were listening to it. I don't remember what I was wearing, but I remember my surroundings. Yeah.
I'm sure you were wearing yoga pants. There's no way that you weren't wearing yoga pants and either a tank top or a sweatshirt. That probably is
something like that. Like what I'm wearing now. But this was a long time ago, like before we were like, oh, let's start a business together. I mean, also, guys, like, we did not scheme for like months on like, all right, what can we do? This was literally, we were at a soccer game. We got in the car. Mm-hmm. Her husband was very drunk in the back seat. Me and Dana are in the front seat. She's pregnant. I think I was still pumping at the time. So I wasn't by any means on Kevin's level. I did know Dana's due date and she didn't. So I was there. Listen. But we were just talking about what we could do. Like, oh, should we do social media? Can we do this? Can we do this? And he's in the back like, why are y'all talking about work? We're like, we're not. Trying to figure out what we can do. So maybe one day it's all we'll have to do.
Yeah. And then the next day we went to that women's conference, which was like super inspiring. It was pretty much nothing but young female entrepreneurs are in different panels talking about how they had made and built what they built.
Yeah.
And it was just a really great, we were like, it all came together. And like, I think when you left that afternoon, because I don't think you stayed after that. I think you left right after that. Like, we called each other and we were like, okay, how do we set this up? And you had some experience with like setting up a, you know, small business yourself. So we were like, okay, well, we need to get an LLC. Well, we need a name first. Well, we need this. And like, it just kind of like spiraled. Like, I learned how to build a website. Like,
You did.
I remember, like, we set up a bank account, and I was just like a kid. I was just like, where do I go? I have to go inside a bank to get our bank account. And then we talked with our credit cards. They were like, well, you have to spend a minimum. This is Kristen's favorite story. I'll let you tell it.
So I had set up an LLC before, and I got my own, like, bank account and credit card for that LLC because you have to keep that shit separate. And so this was going to be another set of two cards in my wallet. And they were like, okay, what kind of credit card do you want? This, 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 or this? And like, this one is probably the best one for y'all. You just have to spend like $250 a month. And Dana looked at me like, I mean, Kristen, we're not going to spend $250 a month. Like, what are we going to spend $250 a month on? And I was like, I don't have an answer for you, but I'm confident that we will.
I was like, there's no way we're going to spend $250 a month on this card. Like, we have literally, this was also when we were like, we're doing events, like they're going to prepay and da-da-da and the artists and all that. And so we were like, we don't have to carry overhead. There's no inventory. Like, what are we going to spend money on?
We ran pretty slim. Yeah, we ran pretty slim. But I mean.
But we definitely, we spent maybe like $251 for a little bit. Okay. Now.
Now we have inventory. But anyways, those, my point of that, I finally remembered where I was trying to circle back to, was all those How I Built This podcast, like, they're not talking about B2B, which is business to business companies. No one's ever heard of them. Like, no one knows who services, I don't know, because I only know my industry. And if I say these words, you might not ever have heard of them either. But I was like, if we want to be like a sexy consumer facing company that Guy Raz is going to interview us one day and be like, how did you do this? We have yarn. And we did yarn because no one else had what we wanted. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just do this? And Dana's like, yarn? And I'm like, yeah, it's fun. It's pretty. It's fluffy. It's soft. It makes blankets. Dana's made more blankets than I have at this point. To be fair, the yarn does live at her house.
It's so therapeutic though. And like, I think what I love about what we're doing now, which to clarify, we're just doing yarn. So we're doing chunky blanket workshops, chunky pillow workshops. We do still some team building. So we do some, you know, corporate accounts and whatnot. But really what we're trying to build is something that's consumer facing and that you could do if you're, you know, either have a team building of your own and you want to have, you know, some kind of small event, or if you just want to have your book club over, or you just want to have a girls' night. I mean, our friend Janine just hosted a birthday party for her 12, 13 year old, and they made chunky blankets at the birthday party. Watched our video, which is not appropriate for children necessarily. However, maybe Craft Happy Kids is, will be in the works soon enough. But I think that's where we're like, okay, this sense of connection and community, and also just like making something really cool with your friends or strangers is something that we want to lean into. And so again, we don't have it figured out completely.
No.
By any means.
Dan also loves the aspect of like, this is like a gift. You have a baby, here's a blanket.
Love it as a gift. Everyone that has a baby in my life, housewarming, all that fun stuff.
All my kids' teachers got blankets this past year.
Same.
They were like, so I have three kids and they were all fighting over that. And I was like, I hope you're not asking me to make three more blankets because I actually don't make blankets for people. My company sells kits. Yeah, it's like lead a horse to water, right? Lead a horse to water. He can drink for a lifetime. I don't know. You guys know what I'm trying to say. But yeah, so as of December 28th, everything that was making us money is no longer part of Craft Happy, other than we do sell yarn on Etsy and on our website, crafthappyco.com. But what we want to do is we got to get this out of Dana's basement. We need, like, Dana is kitting everything. So the yarn comes, she's got to put the label on it. She's got to add our little accessory kit. She's got to put it, build the boxes, put the tape, put the stickers, like print the labels. Like,
I'm the manual labor behind it, but Kristen is the booker. She's our agent and she is connected with all these workshops, coordinators.
Sometimes the artist. Yes.
Artists. Yeah. You're putting the pieces together. I'm putting them in the box is how it's been working.
So we want to scale this.
Yes.
We want to be like in everyone's, like people that think, oh my God, I've always wanted to learn how to do that, but I don't think I could do it. Once you see our ads on Instagram or TikTok or wherever you get your carefully sourced ads delivered right to you, you're going to see and be like, those girls figured it out. I'm going to grab one of their kits. And it comes with a tutorial video with yours truly on it, which is why we have like four people that are like, you guys should start a podcast, because I thought this video was going to be dumb and I was going to just like pause it and make my blanket and then like fast forward to the next section. But they're like, it was the best. It was like I was watching a show. I was like, okay, all right. Okay, we heard you. So that's what we're doing. We are trying to put ourselves out there and share about this journey, because right now where we're sitting today, January 3rd, 2023, we have a partner that is working directly with a manufacturer to put together our golden sample, which
I know. We learned a lot of new words too. So we'll share those words as we learn them.
Yeah, a lot of new words. We're working on the golden sample, making sure they're matching the quality of our yarn, the colors. Mm-hmm. One of the really fun things is, you know, when I was growing up, I wanted to be the person that named nail polish. I thought that would be a fun job. So I never got that job, but me and Dana name our yarn.
Got a really better job, colors. Yarn and naming.
Way better. But yeah, so that's where we're sitting now. And then once we get this golden sample, hopefully we love it. We're going to, you know, add it to our website and we are going to launch a Kickstarter campaign within the next few months. So tell your friends, tell your people that have a lot of money, if you have investor friends, or I don't know who you know, maybe you know yourself and you just want to be a part of it.
Everybody knows somebody.
Everybody Everybody knows somebody. But we'll be launching that, and hopefully we will be delivering our cozy, chunky kits fall of 2023 to a mailbox, doorstep, front porch.
Anywhere you receive packages. Parcel locker. Parcel locker.
Near you.
And I think, too, the purpose of this podcast is kind of to document. It's almost like a diary for us because obviously the last 3.5 years have been crazy. And we've been moving so fast and changing what we're doing. And like, we have a lot of these conversations internally, but we've also looked for a lot of resources that we don't feel like we found completely. Like, we would piece together, like, hey, listen to this podcast. I really like this piece of what her story was. And then, oh, go to this one. And, oh, I saw an article, like, maybe that's relevant. But there wasn't like a, oh, hey, like, I saw their journey and that's a great idea. We should do that. Or maybe you learn from what we shouldn't be doing. And you're like, that was a bad idea. I'm going to go over here and do this instead. But yeah, so hopefully the podcast will act as that diary for us that we can kind of go back to. And also if it, you know, helps just a couple of people out, or if we just make you laugh once, if you feel obliged.
Or if you just, you know, grab a glass of wine and hang out with us once a week or every other week, however we decide to do this.
Well, I do have a fun way that we can kind of wrap this up, because we do want to keep these episodes a little bit shorter than I think what we're doing now. And I told Kristen, was like, when we were starting this, she was like, yeah, I think we are going to talk for way too long. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's just a couple of years. It's just, you know, we'll just hit the highlights. Should we have a bullet point? I was like, oh, let's just talk and it'll be fine. And I forgot that, like, we could probably talk to each other for hours, which is, again, I mean, we don't live next to each other for a reason.
So what is the surprise?
I know. I was teasing you whenever I Marco Polo'd you earlier too. So I think this episode is all about like our origin story, where we want, you know, our two listeners to learn a little bit more about us and how our relationship started and where we are now. And I know a lot about you, but I don't know everything about you. And obviously the few people that are listening don't know everything about you either. And so I thought we would do a little fun rapid fire question and answer, where I'll ask you a quick question and you just give me your response. And if you feel like you would like to elaborate just to make it more fun, feel free to. And then obviously you didn't know this was happening, so I'll answer about myself so people get to know me too. Does that make sense?
Okay, I was going to say, I get to hear yours too? Yeah, I understand how question and answer works. Thank you.
Well, it'd be question and answer and then another answer. QAA.
Got it.
Great.
Go.
First job. What was your first
lifeguard job? I was a lifeguard.
Oh, well, that's fitting, because then you were a swimmer.
I was a swimmer before I was a lifeguard.
Well, that I would hope so. I think you have to be you have to know how to swim before.
Yes. Spent a lot of time in the chlorine.
Yeah. I would never be able to do that with my hair. I just hated getting my hair wet. But I also have curly hair, so it wasn't very easy to dry.
I might have curly hair. I don't know.
My first job was a skating rink / putt-putt course. So it was like a dual, like you could buy tickets to both or you could just go to one or the other. And so during the week, I would work like the concession stand or like the skate rental, and like I can burn a mean frozen pizza for your kids' party kind of thing. Or on like Saturday mornings, I would get the early shift at the putt-putt, and I would like have literally like the Ghostbusters blower backpack on, and I would walk the entire course, the 18 holes. Like, it was like an animal safari, so it was like blowing off like lions and giraffes, which is probably why I was so skinny then, because I was like skating. Oh. And I was like blowing the course off. So
Freddie has one of those to blow the leaves in our yard.
Real sexy, right?
I guess.
All right. Next question. Your favorite holiday movie?
The Santa Claus.
Oh, really?
I love Tim Allen.
The Tim Allen one. Are you watching like the TV series?
Yep. Done.
Ooh, interesting. I have two. I will do like my vintage one that we watch every year, and I think stands the test of time, is Home Alone. Love me some Macaulay Culkin. And my recent one is Spirited. Did you watch Spirited with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell?
I did not.
What? How have we not had this conversation? I might have to break into song right now. Like, it is.
How did you not tell me about it when you watched it is what I'm more concerned about.
I feel
about.
Like I told the world. How could I have not told you?
I don't know, because I see your Instagram story on Instagram, on Facebook, on our Craft Happy Instagram. Like, I see it three times. So I wouldn't see it.
Well, I might not have posted anything about, but it's one of those, like, you watch it the first time and you're like, meh, and then you watch it the second time and the 19th time, and it is the best show. Like, It was on repeat in our house. It's amazing.
I didn't know you had that much time on your hands, Dana.
I did during the holidays. We just like had it on the background. Like I have kids, Kristen, remember? Like put the TV on and go watch this. Like, and they love musicals that, I mean, we listen to Encanto Live a lot too, but.
Oh, nice. Anyway, all right. All right. I'll watch it next Christmas.
Your go-to drink order.
Like for a cocktail? I mean, it's usually just wine.
Yeah, do a cocktail and wine.
It's usually just wine, and then the color depends on the time of day and time of year, but always dry. And cocktail, I like anything that has like elderflower in it. I will always order that. Or if it's like cucumber gin, like in spring, like I'll try that.
Ooh, fancy. I like that. I would say wine is definitely. And then if I'm out and about, I will do like a jalapeno margarita. I love tequila and I like some spice. So that's usually my go-to.
I love it.
Love it.
I'll just be like, what is the best cocktail here? Because like, I don't know, drink a lot of cocktails. Mostly just wine. It's easy. You just pour it in a glass.
And that's it. You're good to go.
That's it.
All right. What is one word to describe me?
Oh my God.
Right? Do you want me to go first for you? Sorry. Obviously, I know the question, so I have an answer.
One word is so hard. Go ahead.
I would say that you are unapologetic in the sense that you know who the hell you are and you don't really care if you rub someone the wrong way. You stand up for what you feel is right. You say what you want to say. You treat people the way that you want to be treated and you set a good example, but you're also not going to apologize for like saying the word fuck and going to church on Sunday.
Not.
Like you are who you are. And I love that about you.
I love Jesus, but I cuss a lot, right? Well, thanks. That was more than one word. Well,
unapologetically one word. I just had to elaborate so you're not just like, I don't get it. I thought you were going to say pretty.
So you know that I love that you just said that. So pretty. I love that you said that because, you know, I'm listening to the Back to the Beach rewatch of Laguna Beach and Kristen, my name too, is like my spirit animal. I was not as cool as she was in high school, but I feel like I have a lot of her energy now. Yes. But I'm glad that I definitely grew into that. One word for you. I don't know. Like, it depends on like what I'm thinking. I would just say like, you're kind of the same, but I don't know. Like, you're innovative. You don't take shit. Like you're impatient with people. Like you need people to get to the point because you don't have time. You have to watch this movie 19 times before you like it. So you have high standards, but like you're super caring. I don't know one
Those
word
are a
for
lot
this.
Of words.
I'm going to have to.
I seem like a good time. On a
You seem like a good time. Good time with a hyphen in the middle.
Good
time. I like it. My favorite thing about Dana is anyone that knows Dana thinks that they're Dana's best friend. So I don't actually know if I am or not, but like literally from like a leasing agent, Dana's very high up in her company. Like, and if they know Dana, they'll think that they're best friends because she will just make you feel that way and she'll make you feel important. But I don't know the word for that.
I'm sure. She's a good person. But that's good. I'll take it. I'll take your runaround answer of not answering. That's a hard one. I know. This should be a little bit easier. What's the best part about being a co-founder?
Oh my God, that I don't have to do this by myself. I don't know how people, we talk about this all the time. I have no idea how people do this by themselves. How many times have we talked to each other off the ledge?
So many times. Literally, that's what I put. I was just like the reason I love having a co-founder is that you hold me accountable. Like, hey, we said that this was our dream. We said that we wanted to do a podcast. Like, if it was just me, I'd be like, okay, like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it the next day. And you're like, no, there's a mic and some glitter stickers in your inbox. Like, go order that right now. Let's go.
I wanted headphones too. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
But yeah, we've been talking about doing this podcast for a long time. And I love that we've chosen now, which is maybe the busiest in like our professional and family lives. But here we are, glitter and all.
That's what we do. Nothing is ever easy. We never always do the right thing, but we're doing it. Damn it.
We're doing it.
And then my last question is,
oh, good.
It kind of leans into that. What do you hope that we accomplish with this podcast?
I just hope we inspire people. Like, I feel like I've always just wanted to inspire people to believe in themselves, no matter what I'm doing. And I've done that in, you know, different verticals or aspects of life.
I love that. Very pageant queeny, but authentic in the same breath. I would say the similar thing. There's a really famous, amazing woman influencer leader in our industry called Dr. Debbie. She's just by first name, really. And I remember sitting in one of her classes when I was a social media guru.
Whatever.
And she did like a whole like motivational lesson about you're in different phases of your life where you're either making it, you're mastering it, or you're making it meaningful. And like you make it like, okay, like you got the job, you're doing the work, you master it, like you actually know what you're doing, you're getting it done. And then making it meaningful is, Kristen, to your word, like impactful, like you're putting purpose behind what you're doing. And I think what I would love for us to do is just share our stories, our experiences. And yeah, if we can just inspire one person to be like, you know what, if they can do it, we can do it, I can do it. And let's just see where this goes, because nothing's easy.
Or if maybe you're not doing it, but you like, I mean, I listened to How I Built This for years before I wanted to build a damn thing. Like, I just thought it was so interesting to hear how things were built. So this is how I built this before there's a story to tell. You're just here from the very beginning.
It's like how we're building it. Maybe we should have just named it that.
How we're building this. Yeah.
Damn it. It's too late. We already recorded the promo. No, but we're all tangled up in it, and that's what we're going to be sharing with you guys. We apologize this episode was a little bit longer than we intended. We will be a little bit more direct and specific. Well, maybe we won't. We don't know what we're doing. We're going to try.
No idea.
But if one person comments that they like this, then we'll probably just keep doing it the way that we're doing it.
But we'll see you here next week or the week after.
Yeah, we haven't figured that part out either. So surprise, maybe we'll drop all of them. Maybe we'll drop none of them. But we'll see you when we see you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy 2023.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thanks for listening. Did you have fun? Yes? Good answer.
Want more where this came from? Yes? Another good answer. Like and subscribe. Find us on social at Craft Happy Co. And get extra cozy for the next episode with your own Craft Happy Chunky Blanket Kit. Use promo code TANGLEDUP for 10% off at crafthappyco.com.
Don't forget to leave us a rating and a review. Okay, bye.